Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Lee Kelly is with me in studio for this Thursday show as usual, and a lot to get to today. Joey Brunk is going to be with us on the program. I'll tell you more about that coming up here in just a moment in the guest lineup. But Lee, saw a good high school baseball game last night, New Albany, Jeffersonville. A little surprised at not just the result, but how New Albany got off to a terrific start. They went on to win 16-6. Unfortunately, though, we could not broadcast the game because of the Pacers playoffs last night, and I saw that the Pacers let another one get away from them last night to Boston as well. So we're filling in the blanks here. It may not be college basketball season, but boy, there's been a lot of activity recently.
Yeah, a lot of things going on. Of course, we're right in the middle of the high school baseball season. A lot of teams beginning to put it together to get their pitching staff lined out. Their hitting's coming along. Weather's been cooperating. So fun times for high school baseball and girls softball. A lot of things going on. Looks good.
Absolutely. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, segment one. Lee and I will have some Hoosier headlines, how we start the show each day, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Later in the show, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, he joins me. We'll talk more about Joey Brunk's commitment as a graduate transfer with 2 years of immediate eligibility to IU. We'll talk some Romeo Langford in the NBA draft with Alex as well, and more. And then later in the program, I had a chance earlier today to catch up with Joey Brunk, who, as you know by now, earlier this week committed to IU as a graduate transfer, and we will play that interview back for you. Joey really excited about his commitment. He's really excited to be an Indiana Hoosier, on paper at least, and with his skills as well. He does fill some needs for the IU roster with his size and rebounding ability, and of course the experience he has already playing at a high major school like Butler so far in his college career. So it's going to be interesting to follow him, see how he hooks up with the team, how he fits in with the team, what type of role maybe right out of the gate he's able to play next year. I think it'll be interesting to see. The good thing is with him, and I said this yesterday, you're not just getting a graduate transfer that's there for 1 year that has the summer to get acclimated with things, and you hope that it works out early in the season with some of the minutes that he gets and that he's able to fill the void you had when you had him in mind to add him and give him a scholarship. But no matter what happens with him early on or even into next season, he's going to be there for 2 years. He's going to have the chance to really settle in and become part of Archie Miller's system.
Not seen the young man play since probably his senior year in high school at the semi-state at Richmond. So what his skill level is now compared to then, I really don't know. Certainly, like all IU fans, you hope that he can come in and add some piece to the puzzle. And I've seen stories already about Deron Davis and Trace Jackson Davis and Brunk, and how do they all fit together? And that's going to be the $64,000 question. So, but hopefully it all works out.
Absolutely. Let's take, or just to recap, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, followed by Joey Brunk on this Thursday edition of the program. That's the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. A number of things to get to today. First off, yesterday, the Big Ten announced men's basketball opponents already for the 2019-20 Big Ten men's basketball season. I recall them doing this early last year. I do not recall them doing this really a week or so after the conclusion of the regular or the 2018-19 college basketball season. Indiana, we know now, we don't know dates, but we know who they're going to play at home at Assembly Hall. We know who they're going to play on the road. We also know those series that they're going to play, the home and away series, and I'll start with those. Maryland, Minnesota, Nebraska, Ohio State, Penn State, Purdue, and Wisconsin. Those are all teams in the Big Ten Conference that Indiana will play one game at Assembly Hall and one game on the road against all of those teams. Home games only for Indiana. They will play Iowa at home, they will play Michigan State at home, and they will play Northwestern at home. Away games, these are just one-time meetings between the two teams for the whole Big Ten Conference season. They will play Illinois at home, they will play, on the road, they will play Michigan on the road, and they will play Rutgers on the road. So Maryland, Minnesota, Nebraska, Ohio State, Penn State, Purdue, Wisconsin, home and away for those teams. Home games only, Iowa, Michigan State, Northwestern. Away games only, Illinois, Michigan, and Rutgers. At first glance, and there's a lot that changes really every day with college basketball teams at this time of year. If you need an example, just see Indiana with the scholarships open and the number of players that they're looking at to fill some of these voids for next year. But looking at it right now with who's declared for the pros, who likely is not going to come back. I know there's some incoming recruits that we're probably not real familiar with at some of the other schools. But what I see right now on paper, I like Indiana's Big Ten schedule. Of course, we don't know how it's going to be laid out. We don't know dates. We don't know some of those particulars. But I like Indiana's schedule as far as who they have to play at home, who they have to play on the road, and, of course, who they have the two-game series with.
It does look friendly. I mean, you've got to look at that and go, things could be a whole lot worse. The thing you don't know, and at least I don't know, is as the average fan sitting at home, those teams that we mentioned that they're only playing once or the games are playing at home, what are they going to look like next year? Because we just don't know. I had no idea how strong a lot of teams in the Big Ten this past season were in and around the basket and in the paint. They had some big people that were very talented that I didn't realize until the season started. So some of those had been in the program for a while. Others were transfers of some type. But sometimes what it appears on the surface in April and what actually happens in November and December and so on, quite different.
I mean, if you think ahead early for next season, Michigan should be good, could be really good again. That's a single play, and it is on the road. Michigan State, always good in the Big Ten Conference. That's a single play. That's at home. So two teams that you kind of expect to be at the top of the conference based on how things have been going, both single plays, one of them on the road, one of them at home. It's those kind of things that you can look at right now and try to maybe figure out your thoughts. And, again, the Big Ten Conference, we think it'll be good. I think from top to maybe midway or even a little beyond midway, it could be another very strong year for the conference from top to bottom. But I think just at first glance, Indiana with about as favorable as a draw as you could get. Obviously, you could really put together a extremely favorable schedule. And again, that doesn't always work out. Think about Rutgers and Illinois and some of the teams that you might put toward the bottom. And speaking of Illinois, I think that they have a chance to be better if it all works out next year with some things they've got coming in. But nonetheless, for what it is, I think it's about as favorable of a Big Ten schedule for Indiana, at least here in recent years. A couple other headlines to pass along in this segment. Indiana is going to get an official visit from a four-star guard named Anthony Harris. Yesterday, he scheduled official visits to Indiana and North Carolina. Harris is recognized widely as one of the top available guards in the 2019 class. Again, that's guys that are seniors that are still looking to solidify their college destination where they will report as soon as this summer. He's going to visit Indiana this weekend, Friday and Saturday, and he'll follow that visit up immediately on Monday and Tuesday with an official campus visit to North Carolina as well. So another name, we've got Trendon Watford out there, you've got Lester Quinones, Anthony Harris as well, Harlan Beverly off the board, as we mentioned earlier this week with his commitment to Miami. But Harris also considering, in addition to IU and in addition to North Carolina, Georgetown, Maryland, Virginia Tech as well, And he met with a lot of those head coaches recently also. So he looks like to be in the final stages of some meetings with coaches and some campus visits as well before he makes his final college decision, you would think, coming up here very soon as a current senior as well. Also, you know, with Joey Brunk in the fold, I think you can start a little bit easier when you've got three scholarships open, down to two, we think, now for next season. You can start to think a little bit more about IU's needs, and now that Brunk is a big guy, it'd be unlikely that obviously Indiana would strive to bring in another big guy, I would think. So this more so will be some sort of guard, it looks like, that will fill at least one, maybe both of those positions if you look at who Indiana is looking at from a 2019 current seniors perspective. One other note, too, Eric Gordon, 17 points and 16 points in his first two games against the Jazz. 6 of 11 for threes. His Houston team is ahead 2-0 in the NBA playoffs in that first-round series. So really good to see Eric Gordon continue once again this year to play a big role for the Rockets. He's been NBA Sixth Man of the Year a number of times, and he continues to be a very valuable player in the NBA. So another good start to the playoffs for Eric Gordon and for his Houston team. Those are the headlines for this Thursday edition of the program presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Did want to mention a couple other notes, I guess, before we get out of here about the New Albany-Jeffersonville baseball game last night. Again, New Albany jumped out with a 6-run first inning as the visitors on the scoreboard. They got off to a really good start. Would go on to win 16-6. Jeffersonville's had some big wins recently, and they can really hit the ball. There's no question about it. A little bit of an off-light night last night. Solid pitching from Cody Medley, followed up by Owen Tanksley for New Albany. The win would be credited to Cody Medley. One home run, and it was a grand slam by Dylan Clark that kind of closed the door on Jeffersonville, who had cut New Albany's lead a bit. Clark with four runs there in that, what was that? The bottom of the, maybe the top of the seventh, I think. To put some extra space, some insurance space, you could say, between the two teams as well. So you said it, Lee, still early in the season, but Floyd Central beat New Albany last week. I think Jeff beat Floyd Central earlier in the season. Now New Albany beats Jeffersonville. If you're a local fan and you're just wanting good games and you're wanting a good Hoosier Hills Conference tournament coming up in a few weeks, or a good 4A sectional, which is coming up before we know it as well also, I think we're headed that way. Some teams that have beaten each other up that appear to be very even, that seem to have reasonably similar pitching as well. So it's going to be interesting to follow.
It really is. And as we talked about in the New Albany-Floyd Central game, I don't think these teams are facing the ace for any of these staffs. And I could be wrong, but normally you save that for the conference and for the tournament. You don't let a team see your star pitcher three times in a season. That normally doesn't work out well.
One other note of interest, Seymour last night hired Kirk Manns as their head basketball coach. That is interesting because Kirk was a great player at Michigan State from 1986 to 1990, Big Ten champion, Sweet 16 appearance in 1990. For Michigan State, he had 40 points against Purdue in 1989. That kind of highlights that he was a really good college basketball player. Kirk has been the athletic director now for a handful of seasons at Seymour High School. He's done a terrific job continuing the tradition of hosting the sectional and the regional and the semi-state at Seymour with his staff and volunteers there from the high school, and has done a terrific job. But with his basketball background, he once was an assistant coach at Western Michigan University for 7 years from the mid-90s until 2000. He's been a high school coach before in Ohio. I guess he thought, hey, here's the opening. Maybe that they didn't get a ton of applicants. Maybe they didn't get a ton of good applicants. I have no clue. But he steps in. He's going to do both. He's going to be the basketball coach and the athletic director. So that's a note of interest, a former Michigan State player in the Hoosier Hills Conference is Seymour. So a new boss roaming the sidelines in Seymour next season.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of schools have a rule that you can't be athletic director and head coach of a sport. So I don't know if Seymour had that rule and just waived it or whatever. But I'm trying to picture Kirk Manns going to the school board going, I have a name for you to consider, and that name is Kirk Manns, me. So I don't know how that worked out.
Absolutely. So Kirk Manns, new boys basketball coach at Seymour a note of interest today. That's the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, a live band on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We'll talk Joey Brunk. We'll talk Romeo Langford. We'll talk other openings with Indiana right now and where Indiana may be looking and who could be next to commit or enter the IU program, and a lot more with Alex. And don't forget, coming up later in the hour, Joey Brunk, who just committed earlier this week to Indiana, he will join us to talk about his decision to IU. And again, I talked to him earlier, so I can tell you it's a good interview. If you're an IU fan, an old-school IU fan, you'll appreciate hearing a young man like Joey Brunk talk about the reasons that Indiana was really important to him and the opportunity that he knows is in front of him as well. So that's coming up later in the hour after Alex Bozich, right here on a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with us, Lee Kelly with me in studio as well to talk some IU basketball and surrounding topics today. And we've got to start, Alex, I think, with Joey Brunk, who we're going to catch up with later in this program. It's kind of been the news of the week, obviously, a big fill-in for the roster. Three scholarships we thought would be the most available this year, now down to two with the commitment of graduate transfer Joey Brunk, who's going to play immediately. Or at least be eligible to play immediately, I should say, and he's got 2 years of eligibility. When you think about Joey Brunk going back to his high school years and what you saw of him at Butler, and you think about IU last season and the needs they have with a player of his size, talk about how you feel he'll be mixed in with the current team, the returning team for next year.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a positive thing for IU basketball. Moving forward to add a player that's, you know, obviously played at a high level in the Big East, was very good last year in terms of how he finished around the basket. I think he shot somewhere in the low 60s from a percentage standpoint, which is very good. You know, it doesn't obviously address the biggest need on the roster, which is improving the shooting, but I think in a lot of ways it solidifies the front court in that you're going to now have two legitimate back-to-the-basket post guys in Deron Davis and Joey Brunk, and gives you a little bit more flexibility in terms of how you're going to be able to use Trace Jackson Davis. I think now, to me, Trace Jackson Davis is probably going to be playing the four. I think it's unlikely that he's going to play the five just because that would create a huge logjam at that position. I don't really think there's any other role for Davis or Brown besides playing at the five. I don't necessarily think either that you can play those two together at the same time, Brunk and Davis. So I think they'll primarily kind of split those minutes, Joey Brunk and Deron Davis. And, you know, if you can get 40 good minutes out of those two, I think you've got a pretty formidable duo. And it kind of gives you also some backup insurance in case Deron Davis isn't healthy. You know, I think everyone's hopeful that he will be healthy next season, but the reality is he's had trouble staying on the court over his first three seasons at Bloomington, so we'll see how that all plays out.
Yeah, it gives you a senior in Davis and what amounts to a junior in Brunk, and then, of course, the freshman Davis coming in. So at least you've got your players spaced out a little bit where you're going to have access to them for a while and take care around the basket a little bit at least. That's a good thing, it seems like. We had so many young players last year that that was a bit of a problem.
Yeah, and the other thing, you know, I kind of look at it from if you're looking at it from a scholarship management standpoint, you know, basically with 2 years to go, Clifton Moore's leaving, so he's kind of filling in the spot vacated by Clifton Moore, and nothing against Clifton Moore, but you know, whether it was his fault, the coaching staff's fault, or a combination of the two, he didn't really develop into much of anything in the two seasons that he spent spent at IU, and so to replace him with a guy like Joey Brunk, who was a productive player last year at the Big East level, I don't think that can be viewed as anything other than a positive.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, our guest, joining us this Thursday and most Thursdays here on the Hoosier Report as we talk IU basketball. Still some scholarships out there to fill. We heard or saw yesterday that Anthony Harris, who probably out of the 2019 guys that Indiana has been mentioned with, that Indiana is still pretty seriously recruiting, probably is the guy that I know least about. What can you tell us about Anthony Harris, who, by the way, will make, I think, as you've seen, an official visit to Bloomington this weekend?
Yeah, he was really good last summer with Team Takeover on the Nike EYBL circuit. He had an injury this high school season. I believe it was a torn ACL, so he missed most of his senior year. I would think, given the timetable of the recovery from ACL type of injuries, that he is expected to be able to play next season. But he is coming off of an injury. The interesting thing here is I believe he has two official visits left that he can take. He's going to take one to IU, and then he's scheduled to take one to North Carolina. But I'm not sure if you guys have seen this, but Cole Anthony, the top point guard in the class of 2019, is now going to be making his decision on Monday, I believe. And North Carolina is one of the schools that is in the mix. So it kind of makes you wonder if Cole Anthony does go to North Carolina, how that affects Anthony Harris. Would that be a good thing for Indiana to be able to get him? But he's a smaller guard. He shot, from a percentage standpoint, really well last year in the EYBL circuit, I think something like 40% or better. Very good defender, from the D.C., DMV area. I believe plays at the same high school that produced Stanford Robinson, who played for IU for a while, under Tom Crean. So just your typical East Coast guard, I think, that plays with grit and toughness would be a pretty good addition. As you mentioned, Matt, he's a top 100 player, and to be able to get somebody of that caliber this late in the game, I think would be a huge, huge deal for Indiana. So there's got to be some optimism there. The fact that they couldn't get him to visit the first time around when he was going through his recruitment, I think speaks to kind of how set he was going to Virginia Tech the first time around. But then with Buzz Williams leaving, that's opened up a window here. And as we've talked about, when everyone kind of wondered what would happen in the spring with recruiting, sometimes these coaching changes and guys transferring, things like that, kind of open up windows of opportunity, and you have to capitalize. And I think for Indiana, they definitely have to get another guard for next season, and this might be their best chance of getting one who can make an impact.
You know, if the young man visiting this weekend and if the Watford visit would go good, both of those young men decide to attend IU, that would take care of the scholarship issue. If they both turn IU down, are there any names of graduate transfers that might be on the horizon and be available, be possibly interested in IU? Are you hearing anything just in case these two would fall through?
Well, not particularly optimistic on the Watford situation at this point. I mean, they obviously had an in-home visit, but he's obviously been to campus many times, but didn't take an actual recruiting visit any time this past season. I would be very surprised if that decision goes in Indiana's favor. It just seems like there's too many relationships there, particularly with Alabama now, with this new coaching staff kind of really putting a lot of emphasis on Trendon and putting really trying to get him to come. Then keeping Kira Lewis, I think, there helps them. And then obviously LSU and Memphis have been in there a while too. And then you've also got Duke. So I think there's a lot going against Indiana in that one. I'd be surprised if he ends up in Bloomington. But beyond that, I think it's kind of a wait and see with the grad transfer names. I think Indiana wants to see what happens with guys like Harris and the kids visiting next week, Lester Quinones, before they go down that route. But, Jeff Borzello published a list, pretty exhaustive list the other day on ESPN.com of some of the top grad transfer names, and there's obviously hundreds and hundreds of those names, but there look to be a couple guys on that top 50 list that could be intriguing, I if it were me and I were going about this, I would definitely try to get an impact freshman before I would go on the grad transfer list, because you look at the historically speaking, on grad transfers, Indiana's taken four in recent memory that I can remember. Evan Gordon, who came from Arizona State. Then you had Nick Zeisloft, who was actually a two-year grad transfer, similar to Joey Brunk. He came from Illinois State. Max Bielfeldt from Michigan, and Evan Fitzner from St. Mary's. If you want to kind of judge those situations on how they worked out, I would say they went 2-for-4 with Gordon and Fitzner not doing very well, and then Bielfeldt and Zeisloft would be situations where you'd say that was a good thing. So the grad transfer market, in a lot of ways, especially if you're going for a player who is coming from a lower level, it's just really hard to project what they're going to be able to do. Whereas, you know, a guy like Anthony Harris, who was a stud on the EYBL circuit, you have a pretty good idea that he's going to project to be a pretty good college player. So I would expect Indiana to kind of go after as many of those situations as possible this spring with you know, top 100, top 50, 150 type freshman to be before really kind of kicking the can down the road with the grad transfer market.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, our guest talking IU basketball. I've been amazed at the number of graduate transfers, but we've already talked a lot about that. And I know time is important when you're dealing with graduate transfers because they immediately need to figure out what their future looks like. And there's some finer details, as discussed previously as well, that often have to be figured out with graduate transfer situations. Another thing I'm surprised about is the number of really good players, and of course we can think locally back to about a year ago from now, Romeo Langford making his decision late, but there are a number of really good players each year that for whatever reason, mainly it's just still being recruited, still trying to figure out what they're going to do, where they're going to go, that let their recruiting last later and later into where they sign very late. And we're seeing that with a number of these guys you read about, Anthony Harris and Lester Canones and the different guys that Indiana's been mentioned with. They're all very talented players that Indiana would love to have, I'm sure. But they've chosen to kind of slow down in the recruiting, take visits, and for whatever reason, they've got to mid-April and still no decision yet. Do you find it interesting that a lot of players sign late? I know that's how it used to be years and years ago, but the trend, I guess, maybe more recently has been to sign earlier, but that's not always the case.
Yeah, I remember us talking about this last year with Romeo, and, you know, if I was a prospect with a choice of all these different places and could go anywhere I wanted, essentially, in some of these cases, and you talk about some of the, you know, top remaining guys like a Cole Anthony, he can go anywhere he wants. I see no reason, and this is one of the few times in the process where the player has the power, so I would, I see no reason to rush and make a decision. You know, the schools that really want you are going to be there till the end. You know, we talked about this last year with Romeo. It wasn't like Vanderbilt or Kansas or Indiana was just going to say, well, if you don't decide before April 15th, we're not going to take you. I mean, these coaches need these players to come. So, you know, a lot of times they kind of want to see what the rest of the roster is going to look like. Who's going to be leaving for the NBA? Who else is coming in? But what's my best pass to minutes? What's my, you know, which school is going to feature me the most? I mean, it's one time where you get, you know, get to make a selfish decision before you join a team type of situation. So I don't blame any of these guys. I actually think it's pretty smart. If I were advising any of them, the coaches don't like it, I don't think, because it makes their jobs even tougher. Like, for example, Indiana right now, they've still got two scholarships open, and they're probably wanting to move on to 2020 recruiting with the evaluation period stuff starting up. But they're still working on 2019, trying to finish up the roster. But that's just kind of the way it's gone now. It's a 365-day-a-year job. Recruiting with grad transfers has almost become like a free agency in a way in college basketball. So good for us. Guys like us like to talk about this stuff when the season's not going on. I don't think it's fun for coaches, but I don't blame the players for doing that one bit.
I got up, I think it was yesterday morning, could have been the morning before, and I open all of the sites that I check every morning, and I see Devontae Green has mentioned he is looking at the NBA, and I went back and read it again. Explain that to me, please.
Yeah, it was one of those weird things. I didn't really write anything up for the website. He is putting his name in, which anyone at this point is entitled to do that. I think from his, you know, I don't see any plausible scenario where he's going to keep his name in the draft. So I didn't necessarily view it as news. I think the when you look at what exactly is going to transpire here, is he's going to get feedback and be able to have kind of a list of things, you know, if he aspires to play at that level or, you know, professionally one day, what do teams want to see from him? What improvements does he need to make? And so it's really an information gathering type of thing. You know, his brother obviously plays in the NBA. I think he has talent, a lot of it. He's going to play professionally somewhere down the line. Will that be in the NBA? My guess would be no, but it's really a no-risk type of thing. You know, I don't think Indiana fans should be worried that he's going to leave, but, you know, with the rules what they are at this point, I mean, there's really no risk in putting your name in there and getting some feedback, and it could be as simple as, hey, you're not someone that's really even on our radar. These are two or three things you need to show next season to get on our radar, and that could be as simple as that. So I wouldn't view it as you know, him doing something that's stepping out of line. You know, he has obviously every right to do that within the process and taking advantage of it. I don't think there's any harm in doing so.
Alex Bozich inside the hall with us on the program today, talking a lot of IU basketball stuff. I was going to mention this later in the show, and I think I will when we've got time to read through some of it, but Romeo Langford, as far as the NBA draft goes, I saw the Ringer yesterday, which I believe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is it part of Sports Illustrated and their website?
It is not. That's the Ringer is the entity that Bill Simmons owns.
Okay, okay. So I know in the breakdown of Romeo Langford, who they had going 15th, they had pluses and minuses for each player. Some of those pluses, some of those minuses, not your average stuff that you read from college basketball writers or NBA draft guys out there that are breaking down players. It really goes in depth with some of the pluses and the minuses of the players and a lot of basketball terms. And I guess it's what I would envision maybe would be on a scouting report to, you know, from an NBA personnel or something like that. But have you seen that breakdown of Romeo Langford and some of those pluses and even the minuses as well? And I'm curious if you have, what you think about it. You may have not seen it, so I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
No, I mean, I saw that he was 15, so I didn't look at it too closely. But I will say I believe Kevin O'Connor wrote that from the Ringer, and he's pretty good in terms of knowing the NBA and knowing kind of the landscape of what teams are looking for and what to expect. So I'll have to go take a look at that. I didn't realize that there was that information there. I just kind of glanced down the list and saw that he was 15th, but it kind of speaks to the fact, I think, more than anything, is that teams are going to want to see him, you know, that he's healthy and able to shoot the ball from the perimeter before they're willing to invest the top 10 pick on him. But we'll see. I mean, but, you know, that's definitely one, you know, one writer that I would check out and believe has some credibility. Kevin O'Connor does a really good job at the Ringer.
I saw there was something in the Indy Star this morning about Greg Odom, talking about Romeo Langford and about he thinks another year would certainly help him at IU. I found that a little interesting that Odom got in on the chat going on about Romeo as well.
I didn't see that one, but kind of interesting considering he works for Ohio State or is a part of their staff at this point that he would comment on that publicly. But, you know, you know, if you're going to get picked in the top 15 or 20, I think you have to go. I don't, as much as all of us, I think, would like to watch Romeo play for another year, I think we can all agree that it's a hard opportunity to pass up to have that life-changing money and that opportunity to play in the NBA next season. It's going to be very difficult to pass up. I just don't see any chance he's coming back.
Would that, you know, looking at it from the outside in, we all agree that Romeo should go if the money is there and money is available. Is that creating any kind of problem for IU in holding on to a scholarship just in case Romeo, something would happen, the surgery needs to have a second surgery, and I'm not wishing any of that on Romeo, certainly, but are they in a position where they might have to hold on to one until he hires an agent or until that magic day comes along that he can no longer come back to IU?
I guess technically, but I'm sure that candid conversations have gone on behind the scenes. And, you know, my understanding is that he's pretty set on staying in the draft and pursuing the next level. So, I mean, these situations happen at schools all across the country. And I'm sure if he did fill the scholarship and he wanted to come back, they would figure it out somehow. Somebody else would be leaving, or they'd clear some space by some type of attrition. I mean, this is, if we're all being honest, this is a business first and foremost for these coaches, and there'd be no way that Romeo wouldn't have a spot. So I wouldn't expect it to be a problem. But I'm pretty confident that he's not going to be bad. I mean, do you guys? I'm curious from your perspective. Do you share that belief?
Yeah, I mean, I would be completely surprised unless it's something freak that we're not considering. Even then, it's just still hard for me. And I've said this all along, based on knowing what Romeo's goals are in basketball, and based on knowing what other people have told me that know this stuff a lot better than us, probably, that I just would be completely shocked if there's any way he comes back.
I would be too. And you know, the bottom line is, the guy down at the end of the bench is the one that really should be worrying at IU, because that's the guy whose scholarship may be removed if they need it for an emergency situation like that. So, but no, I don't think there's any way. And I can't blame the young man. I would love for him to come back to IU and watch him another year. But I understand completely, and I'm in agreement with the decision he's made. I mean, if somebody's going to wave that kind of money in front of your face, I think you've got to make the logical choice, take care of it, and you know, invest it correctly and become a rich person overnight.
Yeah, and I think one of the most short-sighted responses I get from a lot of fans on Twitter and different social media and even email is, well, he needs to come back and get better and all that. And people forget that you don't have to be in college basketball to get better as a player, right? I mean, in the NBA, they have dedicated staff that works with somebody 24/7. There's no school aspect. It's all basketball all the time. So this notion that he's not going to get better once he gets to the NBA is completely foolish. I mean, you can go to the NBA as a guy who needs time in the G League or needs time to develop at the end of the bench and still have a really productive career. Now, could you come back and have a really terrific year and maybe improve your draft stock a little bit? Yeah, perhaps, but you could also do what Miles Bridges did a couple of years ago for Michigan State, where a lot of people thought he was going to be, you know, a top five, top four pick after a freshman year and come back, and his stock dropped a little bit. So I think you go when you have, you know, when you know you're going, you're going to be a, you know, top 15, top whatever it is, top first half of the top round, I think is pretty realistic for him at this spot. I just don't think you take the risk, and I think that he is going to get better once he gets to the NBA. There's no doubt about that.
You know, I remember back to a year ago when I believe the name is Trey Young, guard from Oklahoma, that had a good freshman year at Oklahoma, but people were saying he can't play in the NBA, he's too small, he'll never be able to shoot like that in the NBA, and he's one of the players being mentioned for Rookie of the Year, had a heck of a season. Yeah. So there are experts, and I was always told an expert's a man with a briefcase more than 25 miles away from home. So when you start talking about experts, you don't know how that kid's going to perform, what's going to happen. Did he fall into the right situation with the right coaching staff and the right teammates and so on? You just don't know. And so that young man's had a tremendous season when it wasn't really predicted by a lot of people.
Yeah, I think the most important thing for Romeo is going to be going to a situation where they have, you know, a solid front office structure in place. You know, there's a GM or a scouting department and player development people and coaches that have been around for a pretty fair amount of time that are, you know, there for the long haul, that have a proven track record. The worst thing I think would be to go to a situation where there's a lot of instability and where they're making rash decisions. So a lot of it's going to depend on where he goes, but you know, I think maybe going a little bit later in the lottery could give him a better opportunity to go to a better situation, because typically the teams like for example, the Knicks that are hoping to draft number one. You look at their recent track record, it's been a complete train wreck. So there could be also a little bit of upside from going a little bit later in the lottery. You may go to a better situation with a better infrastructure in place.
Alex Bozich inside the hall with us on this Thursday edition of the program. Alex, as always, thanks for the chat. We'll talk with you again soon.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Alex Bozich always with us Thursdays on the show. Got to get to a commercial break because when we come back, I had the chance to talk with Joey Brunk earlier today. We'll talk about his commitment to IU, the role he thinks he can play at Indiana, and what attracted him to become a Hoosier for the final 2 years of his college basketball career. That's coming your way next, right here on a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this and for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Thursday edition of the show. Joey Brunk, who just earlier this week made a decision to become a graduate transfer, immediately eligible at IU next season, and he's got 2 years of eligibility. That's kind of been the big headline surrounding IU basketball this week, and Joey's kind enough to take some time out to join us today. Joey, I know that since you made your decision a couple days ago, you've kind of been on a media tour. I think you've been on about every program and in every newspaper and every website in Indiana. So at this point, you've kind of got it down pat, man. You've been a star this week.
Yeah, I've been. My phone's been ringing a little bit. That's a good thing.
Absolutely, Joey Brunk, my guest. Let me just start with this: Why Indiana? What made Indiana? What made Archie Miller stand out to you as you went through this process to be a graduate transfer?
Growing up in Indiana, I watched a lot of Indiana basketball. I grew up, you know, as a fan of basketball in our house. We watched everybody. I was at the game when Christian Wolfer hit the shot to beat Kentucky. I went to games to watch Jordy Holes and Cody Zeller and Victor Oladipo. So I kind of had that history already. And then, you know, once Coach Ostrom and Coach Miller reached out, once my name was out there in the portal, you know, it meant a lot to me, and we started to build our relationship.
You know, you think back, you were a great high school player at Southport. You guys collectively as a team did some big things with Coach Simpson, and of course individually you garnered a lot of honors as well. Indiana All-Star, we last talked at the Derby Classic game that used to take place in Louisville around this time of year. Did you ever think that you committed to Butler, a program that has had great success right in the heart of Indiana, and that you'd be able to experience a couple years there? And I know there were some ups and downs at Butler, but then go on to finish your career, and Coach Simpson mentioned yesterday on the show you might have plans to work on your law degree while finishing up basketball at Indiana. What an opportunity to play for two great in-state programs. I'm sure that as crazy as this all has been, there have to be, as a guy, and I know you do appreciate basketball and appreciate how things go with basketball in our state, the opportunity to play for two great college programs right here in the Hoosier State.
Oh yeah, I'm an Indiana kid through and through. I played in one of the best, not in my opinion, the best high school gym in the state. Not one of them. It's the best, top of my list at Southport Fieldhouse. So I've grown up in a lot of great places. I've got to play in a lot of amazing venues. And I'm pumped to add Assembly Hall to that list of a place I get to call home.
Joey Brunk is my guest. He committed to IU earlier this week, 2 years of eligibility left as a graduate transfer. In your discussions with Coach Miller and the coaches, I know they visited you. You visited them on campus. What were some of the things they told you about how you could fit into this roster and this team for next season?
You know, we talked about how I can play with my back to the basket and how that's a, you know, kind of a necessity to have in the Big Ten, and that's an important skill set. And also my ability to, you know, be a little bit of a basketball player first. I believe I can help facilitate and take some pressure off of people just because of, you know, growing up around basketball and just kind of having a good IQ for the game. So just kind of, you know, being able to do a little bit of everything, working on this summer to be able to stretch the floor and just kind of be a threat wherever I am on the court.
Joey, as you watch Big Ten games, and you kind of talked about your history following IU and, of course, the conference as well, you're a big guy. You're a strong guy. You're a tough guy. How ready do you feel you are with the experience already of playing at a program like Butler? How ready are you and is your body to play in a grueling conference like the Big Ten?
I know I'm going to bust my butt this summer to get bigger and stronger. I know that's an important thing for me. It's always been an important thing for me is improving my body. This summer will be no different. But, you know, I'm going to put in the time and effort as well as everybody else is to make sure we're ready come this season because the Big Ten's for real. I'm excited to finally get to be a part of it after watching it, you know, for as long as I can remember watching, you know, those CBS Sunday afternoon games with my pops. So I'm pumped.
Absolutely. One other thing, too, I know Coach Simpson mentioned that you – obviously working out all the time in your spare time, trying to get ready for the transition to IU, but you've had a chance, and I think you've got a relationship already with even a young player coming into IU in Trace Jackson Davis for next season. So you guys kind of will become IU players together. You with 2 years left, him as a freshman in college. What's your relationship like with him? I think you guys work out together some, and what are your thoughts on his talents, his abilities, and playing with him as well?
Yeah, Trace and I have worked out probably a handful of times. I'd say probably around 7, 8, 9 times. We work out with the same trainer. We started working out together just as, hey, you know, you're two big guys, and it's good to have, you know, somebody your size to compete against and play live with. And then once I said I was transferring, Trace was giving me the sales pitch every day when we were working out together. But, you know, I've loved getting to know Trace. I'm excited to spend 2 years with him. I think he's going to be a fan favorite. He's an unbelievable talent. So I'm excited to get out there and play with him, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun together.
Joey, what's next for you? I know you've got to finish schooling for the year, which is coming up pretty quickly at Butler. You've got to make the transition to IU, and you mentioned your workouts and working on your body in addition to things on the basketball court. Kind of paint a picture. I know you've got a lot to get done here in a number of months. What's ahead for you here in this off season and really over the next couple months as you make your way down to IU?
Yeah, before I get down to campus, you know, obviously I need to finish up school, take care of that, finish strong. You know, I'm really excited to get my degree for Butler. And then as far as basketball goes, continuing to work on my body, lift 4 days a week. I have a plan. I'll be in the gym with Jason probably 6 days a week, working on my skill set, improving my jump shot, doing all those type of things. So from here to June, I'll be running every day, busting it to get everything done. But that's the way I like it. I like it busy. So it'll be busy for these next couple months.
Now you mentioned graduating undergraduate. I believe it's an education degree from Butler. Let's go back and talk about that here for just a quick second. That's pretty impressive to work through a 4-year undergraduate degree at a school like Butler in the amount of time that you have.
Yeah, growing up, school was always really important. Before my brother and I could ever go play outside, my mom made sure we got our homework done. That was the rule. So school's always been a priority for me. But I also had a lot of really good professors, really good just faculty members at the Butler College Education that, you know, wanted to help me reach my goals and, you know, showed me, you know, the way you treat people. So, you know, I'm grateful for all of them.
Joey Brunk, my guest joining us today. He is the latest addition to IU's roster for the 2019-2020 season. Final question for you, Joey. What's the most exciting thing that you're looking forward to as an Indiana Hoosier? I know there's some space between now and next season, and obviously the start of the season with all the fans and the fanfare and the things that come along with that. But what's something as you've made this decision that you're most excited about for the upcoming year?
I got chills thinking about it when I was down on campus, and it's hard not to now, but just thinking about wearing the candy stripes and coming out of Assembly Hall to all those people and getting ready to compete with the guys you care about. That's what I'm excited for. I'm excited to get out there and play and show my personality to the fans, play with passion, compete. That's what I love to do. And I hope they love it.
Joey Brunk, graduate transfer to IU. Joey, thanks. You've always been great to follow, even back to your high school days. Very well spoken, very friendly, and appreciate the chance to have you on today with the busy time you're going through right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on, my man.
All right, again, Joey Brunk, IU commit, graduate transfer, joining us. And again, I talked to him earlier today. Great to have him with us. And you can tell, Lee, the excitement and energy that he has to be an Indiana Hoosier and just a kid that we followed since high school. So we'll see how it works out. I think there's optimism that he fills a need for Indiana.
Yeah, I get the feeling that he's really happy about going to IU, and he mentions coming out onto the floor at Assembly Hall in front of the big crowds and so on. So certainly wish him the best of luck.
Lee Kelly with me in studio on Thursdays. And again, Lee and I will be out at some high school baseball games again coming up soon. We look forward to that. And thanks to you for being with us here on this Thursday edition of the program. I'm back with you Friday. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is with us for our daily IU chat, and a lot more coming your way tomorrow, 11 o'clock, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.